As the minister has indicated, I'm going to be taking the committee through the presentation, and I hope that I am audible this morning. So the content is basically I'll give an introduction and then talk about the infrastructure that was affected and the measures that were taken by the department. We'll talk to the retail network, the transport corridor. We'll do an overall assessment as well as the response of the department and finish off with the current situation. Next slide, please. So I think what we'd want to indicate is that even as late as last week on Friday, an assessment of the impact of the criminality, vandalism and looting was still being conducted. We are in constant contact with the retailers in particular because they were impacted most heavily. So they are busy calculating the actual impact of the looting, and the numbers change from time to time. But we believe that what we are presenting here this morning is an actual reflection of what obtains on the ground. Now, it is a fact that our country is dependent on imported fuel. We're talking to the crude oil that goes to the refinery. Now, when the riots broke out, there was an impact on the movement of workers to the biggest refinery in the country, which is owned by Shell and BP, which constitutes 35% of the country's refining capacity. That refinery basically had to shut down, and that meant that the country lost quite a number of tons of crude oil processing capacity per day, and that then impacted on the production of petrol and diesel, in fact, by suffer. There was supply disruption. The N3 and the N2 was disrupted, and therefore fuel could not be moved from Durban to the inland provinces. And this posed a threat to mining industry in particular. There were concerns about availability of diesel to continue mining. What we can report, however, is that there was no impact because of the measures that both the department as well as the petroleum industry have undertaken during that time to make sure that the impact is less severe. Now, we know that the number in terms of the impact on GDP, this number keeps on increasing. But the estimates that we had was in the order of 50 billion. But we know that this is now for the whole economy, not just the petroleum sector. There was an impact on mineral sales, and we believe that we'll be able to see this in the July statistics. And what do we mean by that? We mean that because of the impact on port activity, it would have meant that some of the exports could not have been undertaken timeously, and therefore then there would have been a minor impact on the actual exports of minerals from the country. The other impact, and I must stress this one, the jobs in the sector that were lost temporarily, and all of those jobs, we believe that they are going to be recovered. And why do we say that? It is because the fuel stations that were damaged, those workers are temporarily out of jobs currently. And when those fuel stations are rebuilt, those jobs will then be recovered. As I indicated, the refurbishment costs to companies and the insurance is, this is still being calculated as we speak. There was a loss of business in the sense that, for example, fuel could not be transmitted or transported to the Eswatini as well as the Mozambique because of the impact on road transport. Now, the concern there is that in the medium to long term, if we were to have a repeat of what we had, those countries will begin to look for other alternatives instead of relying on South Africa for fuel. Now, as a department, in collaboration with other social partners as well as economic partners, we will work together to actually assess what we can learn from this event and what it means for energy security going forward. We have taken some lessons and we'll talk to that. As the minister has indicated, production in mines was not impacted, which I think is something that we welcome. I think the figures in as far as the impact on economic growth, those are still being assessed. But those are the figures that we had in terms of what it would mean to economic growth for 2021. But we will, I think these figures will come out from Stats South Africa to confirm whether the shaving off of 0.8% growth actually materializes. We believe that the rebuilding is actually going to help to stimulate more economic activity as well as job creation. I think this one is just to repeat the fact that although the production was not impacted, I think the sales via Richards Bay and Devonport were impacted. There were depots that were shut down in KZN as a precautionary measure until the country was stable, and we will talk to this as we proceed. Next slide, please. Now, I think we want to move now to the infrastructure that was affected and the measures that were taken by both the department as well as the petroleum industry. As I indicated, the Sasfres refinery was closed for safety of the infrastructure, the refinery itself, as well as the safety of employees who could not travel to work during that time. This was a precautionary measure. The refinery has now been restored. There was partial closure of very key storage facilities. The one facility is the Katla facility in Devon, in Island View, as well as the Vopak terminal. And all of these were closed down as a precautionary measure because one did not, we did not want a situation where people could get access to such infrastructure and also maybe cause the damage to that infrastructure. LPG storage facility, I think the committee would be aware that the biggest import storage facility for LPG in South Africa is in Richards Bay, and measures were taken to make sure that that facility is secured, even though LPG could not be transported from the facility because of the impact on the N2. Then inland, there were some storage in Gauteng that were placed under additional security measures. I must say here that as a department, we feel that the response that we got from both the SAPS and the defense, South African National Defense Force, when we requested additional security at the key installations. I think that response was commendable, and it shows that the working together that has been initiated through the DG and the National Commission is actually beginning to bear fruit. As I indicated, there were loading and offloading terminals both in Durban and in Richards Bay, and that were shut down because employees could not travel to work. It was not safe for them to travel to work. But also then, as I indicated, we felt that it is better to just close down and then make sure that the facilities themselves are protected. Now, we also faced a situation where TNPA officials who service the ports were also not able to process paperwork for fuel that had been imported into the country. And then because of that, there were some delays that were experienced. The closure of these facilities, of course, did affect product supply. In fact, KZN was impacted heavily, as the minister has already indicated. Most of the service stations were shut down. Moving on to the retail network, in KwaZulu-Natal, we had 94 sites. These are service stations that were shut down as a precautionary measure. Sadly, 80 sites were looted and the shops were damaged. And I think importantly here also, as part of that looting, there was loss of cash in some of those service stations. Also very importantly is that there were three sites that were shut down. In Gauteng, we had one site that was shut down, and then two sites were looted. This number for Gauteng, we believe that is going to increase as the information is obtained from the Retailers Association, because they are now doing an assessment, and that is, you know, is coming in trips and drabs from the Gauteng area. But what we are confident of are the numbers in KZN. Now, it was also realized that the cash in transit company, they refused to move cash during that time. Now, that then posed a threat to the service stations, because even the ones where there was no, you know, riot thing associated, they were keeping a lot of cash at the service station till. And the fact that no cash was moving, both in KZN and in Gauteng at that time, became a threat to the safety of the service stations themselves, because criminals would have been aware that cash is not moving. Fortunately, then, I think the issue of robberies at service stations did not materialize, so that cash then, when things normalized, was able to move. Now, the impact at the last numbers that we have from the retailers is that the cost is estimated at 281.127 million, as well as the fact that, 1,579 jobs were impacted temporarily. This is what I was referring to earlier, that it's not jobs lost, but jobs that were, service station workers could not go to work because the service station is either looted or it is banked down. But we believe that with the rebuilding, this is going to normalize again. Now, in terms of the transport corridor, we would be aware, I think committee members would be aware, that fuel is transported by road, rail, pipelines. And this basically, during this period, the road transportation was affected negatively. The N3, we all know what happened on the N3 corridor because of the banning of trucks on the N3. A decision was taken that no fuel moves, because then fuel tankers, if they then catch fire, then that becomes a bigger challenge even for the community as well as the drivers. So all transport through the N3, but also the N2 from Richards Bay, was suspended. LPG was then impacted from Richards Bay to the inland market. We actually, in the Gauteng area, there were perhaps 1 or 2 days where it became again a challenge to obtain LPG because it was not flowing from KZN. As I indicated, over time, we're then able to get the police as well as the defense force to escort key tankers, you know, both on the N3 as well as the N2 corridor within Gauteng, but also then from KZN to the inland provinces.
How can you claim?
If we look at the overall assessment, as was indicated by the Honorable Minister at the beginning, KZN fuel was temporarily disrupted. We all know we saw the lines there, people queuing for fuel. Unfortunately, it was a decision that had to be taken to say, in the interest of saving the infrastructure, but also then, you know, protecting lives, which would have been impacted had more service stations come under strain. Then, you know, the closure was the best option at the time.
How can you
in Gauteng, despite what was reported, there were no shortages that were experienced. And partly this
and the lavish car
talks
thing, like
to the organization of both the producers of fuel, but also then the retailers who
and
were able to
idea.
Keep the market supply.
And
I think
yeah, and,
the department also had an impact, which you know, then minimized the shortage.
Put under his name.
In terms of what was done,
only now that it was put under his name.
From day one, the minister convened meetings both with the Minerals Council as well as the petroleum companies. One to assess the situation, but to make sure that there's sufficient planning. Both from
and
the department, but also then,
like on the floor.
You know, from the companies themselves. And also meetings were convened with the social partners at Netflix. In addition to this, the DG also then took over and made sure that from time to time, there are meetings that take place.
Yeah, how can you say that it's
gauge what you know responses had been there,
sure,
but then the impact in the industry. As a department, we also convened what we call logistics planning team meetings. These meetings normally meet they take place once a week on a Wednesday, where we assess the supply situation in the country. But because we had the, you know, what we consider to be an emergency on, you know, in terms of our planning, we then decided to convene these meetings daily to make sure that whoever needed help then is able to get the help to make sure that there's fuel to sustain the economy. We also maintain daily contact with the Retailers Association to assess, you know, the impact on retailing, but also then to understand where they needed support. We established a single point contact for security interventions, which worked quite well. We had someone who was in direct contact with the SAPS and was then able later on to link to the South African National Defense Force. The protection of key facilities as well as escort of fuel delivery was achieved, but also because of the collaboration with the security forces. There was a decision, and this was influenced mainly by a request from the security cluster to say that dispensing of fuel in containers needs to be stopped because the containers were basically being used to not only in the looting, but in actually starting fires when people had completed the looting, but also then were being used to target some of the security vehicles. Then the minister then you know, promulgated the regulation, but this was then also followed by the clarification of the kind of containers that needed to be allowed to be used. We know that there was an impact in terms of normal business, but given this, you know, where we were at the time, we felt that it was necessary for this pain to temporarily be absorbed in order to protect infrastructure and minimize more damage, you know, which was caused. Now, I have already indicated that we collaborated with the SAPS in terms of infrastructure. There was police visibility at service stations, as well as other strategic infrastructure. And also, we had to make sure that there was public safety and safety of personnel, because some of these depots actually are close to where people live. So we had to make sure that they are not only protected to protect the fuel, but also then the communities around. I think what, in conclusion, would want to say is that the situation has stabilized. However, we unfortunately, in the last week and a half, we had an import vessel that was impacted by COVID restrictions. So it was no longer an issue of what had happened. But because SAPREF had been closed down, we had to import fuel. Now, that imported fuel vessel, the crew members tested positive, and it became a logistical nightmare to actually get the fuel off the vessel, because in terms of Department of Health protocol, basically that vessel became a no-go area. But I must say that that vessel has since discharged, and that fuel, you know, has been offloaded, and in fact the vessel has since left our shore. I think lastly what we would want to say is that the companies that whose the infrastructure was vandalized, particularly the retailers, they have to commence with the reconstruction. Of course, most of them are going to claim from insurances, and this is going to take time. So there will be some impact in terms of availability of fuel in those service stations that were effectively bent to the ground. However, we do think that there is a network, a huge network in the country, that there shouldn't be any impact on fuel supply in the country going forward. We also, I think it is important for the committee to note that what we have found is that the structures that we have with the industry, the discipline of meeting every week to assess the national situation actually does prepare, you know, everyone for such emergencies, because all we needed to do was to scale it up to a daily meetings instead of the weekly meeting. But then the routine is already there. We are then able to make sure that we can, as much as possible, keep the economy functioning. With that, I believe that you know, we've come to the end of our presentation. Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. Thank you, Chair and Member.
And to the person of the committee. Thank you, Babu Nkwachi, and your team. I'm trying to check, Honourable Members. It was a short presentation and succinct, and I understand also that it relates to the industry. Honourable Mailem, Honourable Mashaule, specifically on the issue with regards to the recent unrest, KZN and Gauteng. Honourable Mailem, Honourable Mashaule.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Matok. Honourable Matok, the last one. Okay, sorry, Honourable Mailem, continue.
No problem. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the Minister and the Department for their presentation. I think it's very, very welcome and long overdue. Chairperson, just my I've got 5 points that I'd like to raise. And the first is, in speaking of the security of the critical infrastructure, and more specifically the security of the SAPREF refinery, one of the issues that was brought to my attention was the security of supply of production resources and in particular gases and the like that are used in the production of refined fuels. Now, can the minister or the department advise us what steps are being taken to ensure the security of those supply processes? And I'd like to talk about this in the context of a bigger security concern, and that is that we need to ensure that our entire supply process is properly secured. So I'm aware that these facilities used to be designated national key points. I think they're now called critical infrastructure. But what is being done on an ongoing basis to secure our refineries, our depots, and our pipelines, as these seem to be targets of unrest and the like as we go forward? My third point, Chairperson, relates to the gazetting of the regulation about fuel containers. And I appreciate what the Minister has and what the Department have said about the containers, and I really appreciate the withdrawal of some of the restrictions that were implemented there, in particular that now people are able to purchase in, I think the term was authorized containers. But, Chairperson, a lot of people rely on being able to buy fuel in small quantities for paraffin lamps and cookers and the like. And my question is, when will that restriction be lifted to allow people to buy small quantities in easy-to-use containers? Equally, I'd I've had a number of complaints about people who say they buy large quantities of fuel in 44-gallon oil drums for the use of farming equipment, garden equipment, etc., earth-moving equipment, and that this has impacted on them. Now, if it's acceptable to transport oil in those drums, surely it's acceptable to transport fuel in those drums, and I'd welcome some feedback on that. My fourth point, Chair, is, and I've raised this before, but I think it's important that we address it, and that is the security of our refined stock. In other words, what is being done to ensure that we have adequate reserves of refined stock to cover us during a shortfall in production for whatever reason? I believe the Morani report required or recommended, rather, that refineries, depots, etc., hold a minimum quantity of refined stock. And I'd really like some input as to what we are going to do going forward to ensure that we don't have a situation where when we have production outages for whatever reason, whether it's a refinery like Astron having an accident, an explosion or whatever it might be, or a force majeure effect like happened at Safref, that we have a security of supply even in the instance of those refineries shutting down. And then my last point, Chair. Minister, we've lost the refining capacity of Astron, which has been shut down since January 2020. We've lost the refining capacity of NREF, which appears as if it's not going to restart. We've lost the refining capacity at PetroSA. And for a temporary period, we lost refining capacity at Safref. Now, Minister, that means that more than half of our refining capacity during this unrest was shut down. And my question is, what is being done to rebuild refining capacity in South Africa? Specifically, Minister, a couple of years ago, I think it was in 2019, you were very quick off the mark to announce a $10 billion investment by Saudi Aramco in building a refinery. Has that proceeded? What is the status of that refining? Thank you, Chairperson. I'll leave it there for now.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me greet the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Greetings to honorable members, and let me take this opportunity to greet the minister and the deputy minister newly appointed and the department at large. Chair, the first point I want to raise is exactly what the honorable Mailam has raised in point three, if I'm not mistaken, around the gazetted regulations on the prohibition of sale and dispensing of fuel through containers. In my life, I have hardly seen an excavator in a petrol station or a diesel station pouring petrol or diesel, whatever the case may be. I've also hardly seen a tractor, especially for small-scale farmers, doing that, which may suggest that because they are small-scale farmers and constructors, may rely on containers to dispense their fuel to those trucks for work. Now, the same question that was asked by Honorable Mailam, that up until when will these regulations be in place, because it affects that business, that small-scale business that we are talking about. But over and above that, in my experience of being born in the villages of Limpopo, I know that a mother of a family, an aunt of a family, who still uses paraffin instead of electricity for lights, for cooking, and so forth, do not normally have capacity to buy or purchase paraffin in a more quantity than a 2-liter bottle. And I have visited the regulations that we are talking about now. There is that prohibition of a 2-liter and less, and it's citing the danger to kids and all of that. What would be the issue there? Because I don't believe that we must force our poor people to buy in bulk that they can't afford. Because once you say in not less than a 2-liter, you are actually saying you must buy more, and that speaks to affordability. I would want some feedback there as well. The second point I want to make is that the minister, in his overview, said the mining sector, as far as he's concerned, may not have been affected. Today when I woke up in the news, there are 4 people who are appearing in Mpumalanga for burning trucks that transport coal. I may not be sure whether that is a related issue to the looting and the burning that was happening weeks ago. But I'm relating that, Minister, because in the midst of incitement of this violence, looting and burning, there was a video by some chap in Mpumalanga, Witbank to be precise, who appeared to be calling for people, communities, to ban the trucks that are particularly transporting coal from mines to power stations. I would want the department to share if that could be a related matter to the looting. And I'm told that he has been arrested as well. So it appears that there has been some kind of happenings there. It may be in the value chain and not be directly linked to the mining operations per se. The third point may not really be a question, Chair, that 94 sites were shut down in KZN for precautionary measures. And I do believe that those sites that were shut down, some of them are open or have opened under the guard of the police service or the army. And because there was 1,579 jobs that were seemingly lost, have we started counting the recoveries of those jobs as and when those sites are open? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'd also like to welcome the presentation. I have 2 questions in particular. The first one, when DGG was giving us the figures of the fatalities and everything, he had indicated that they are confident about the numbers in KZN and not so much about the numbers in Gauteng. And I was wondering why that is the case. And then secondly, there is a, we are told about 1,500 jobs were temporarily impacted. Can you please elaborate on what that means and whether there are measures or commitments that have been made to make sure that the workers that are affected are assisted in terms of making sure that their livelihoods are not greatly affected. Thank you very much.
Honorable Langa, very quick. I didn't see your hand. Sorry, I see you wrote something.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to everyone. Chair, DDG did mention that SAPREF is now restored and is back to processing. But I find it very disturbing that it did not speak on Engen. Engen, which is one of the major petroleum refiners in the country. Because Engen, according to the information I have, Engen has shut their processing in their refinery, and their plan is to convert the refinery into a depot and storage. And this will have an impact of close to about 1,000 employees being impacted on losing their jobs. So did the DDG not speak on Engen, maybe because it is not in his attention, or because this will have an impact in the country? And also demand versus supply has always been an issue in the country. So what is the plan to ensure the country has sufficient petroleum products, given the likes of Engen, Astro, Petro SA, shutting down their processing plants? And also this I am querying because we have a major we have major global challenges, and as a country we cannot be relying on importing fuels. So maybe to echo again the words of Honorable Mylem, and as well Honorable Mahlaule, what is done as a country to ensure that we have sufficient refiners within our country so that we are sure that we have security of the petroleum products? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Minister Babu Mphathi and your team, can I also request that probably after the questions, you can then make your final remarks.
Okay, Makubela, get in first.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, and thanks to the honorable members for the question. Firstly, I would want to respond to the ones from Honorable Mylem. And in fact, in responding to that, I will also respond to the question from Honorable Langa on the refining. The security of infrastructure, I think it is a challenge, and I don't want to underplay this matter. It is a challenge, particularly the pipeline infrastructure. Not so much, in fact, it's pipeline and rail. And it is a challenge because of criminality. There is a lot of theft of fuel from the pipeline. It takes place effectively on a weekly basis. And then these are syndicates that we believe are working with some of the people probably were employed in the sector, and this is a matter that the the security cluster is seized with. There are some arrests that take place, but then the syndicates move to another place. So, and again, it's because we have over 1,000 kilometers of pipeline in totality. And therefore, to say sure that becomes quite a challenge. But I believe that we are seized with that matter, and the breakthroughs are being made. On rail infrastructure, the challenge is theft of rail infrastructure, you know, for steel, selling as scrap metal, and that is not targeting the fuel as such, but it's targeting the metal. So it is a challenge. On the facilities themselves, we are confident that the refineries, the depots, the security in those facilities is adequate. What I think became a challenge was that the workers in those facilities could not their safety could not be guaranteed. And then a decision was taken to say, you know, rather than risk workers being, injured on their way to work, let's shut down. But also then the issue became, in those situations, it also becomes difficult to know who can do what with all the security that is there. And I think the precaution was necessary during that time. Of course, we're going to do what is called a post-action review together with the industry to say what can we improve going forward, what lessons have we learned from this, and what can we improve. So that work is ongoing. But also what I can say is that the National Commissioner of Police as well as the DG have established a task team that is going to look at security issues primarily driven by illegal mining, but I think it is going to expand. We actually use the same structure to make sure that the security interventions were quick during this time. On the issue of the fuel containers, actually, firstly, I would want to say that the regulation is limited was limited by the minister to petrol and diesel, and it does not include paraffin. We know that there were some concerns to say that you can also start a fire with paraffin, but I think the main target of the regulation was petrol, because it was the one that was being used quite frequently. Now, ideally, there shouldn't be any sale of petrol and diesel in the country. There shouldn't be any dispensing of petrol and diesel into containers that are not approved by the SABS. That should be the norm. And I think all the minister has done is to make sure that this is now introduced, and will be guided by the minister here. But ideally, we should not be dispensing any fuel into a container that is not SABS approved, particularly for petrol and diesel. We also need to think about going forward, whether it is proper for the safety of the children of this country for paraffin to continue to be dispensed in 2-liter bottles, because this is where they ingest paraffin, thinking that it's cold drink. And these things do happen. So whereas if it's a container, plastic container that is approved by SABS, then it's okay. Now, on the issue for example, the farming community and so on, equally there, I think would be important for, you know, that community to make sure that even for purposes of insurance, you use containers in your parky that are approved by SABS. Because if something happens, then you are able to say that I used a container that was approved. But this is something, of course, we will have to be guided, going forward. But I think it is good practice. In other countries, the dispensing of fuel into unapproved containers is just not allowed. And maybe it is time that we also look at that best practice and perhaps phase it in over time. I think the security of fuel supply continues to be something that we look at. But what I can say is that what this event showed us is that we have a robust supply system, because even with all the closures that are there, we are able to ensure that they fuel in the country. Of course, the NEVs go up as far as everyone works in the industry during that time, but we were able to make sure that there was sufficient fuel. On the issue of the...
Kelly said that they both...
NREF, Astron, and PetroSA. One is that we are in contact with Astron. We had a meeting even 2 weeks ago. They have assured us that June 2022, the refinery will be back in operation. So the repairs are ongoing, and they are still committed to restarting the refinery come June 2022. And this is something that we welcome. On NREF, there is the decision there by the shareholders to say they want to convert. Now, that refinery currently is not operating. And those discussions with NREF are still ongoing. But what we've said to them is that no jobs will be lost. They must just make sure that all the workers who are working in that refinery, because it's not operating now, they must be then redeployed to other parts of their business, even as they discuss what they're going to do with the refinery. So, in terms of that, there is ongoing discussion between ourselves, Engen as well as NERSA to say what is going to happen with this refinery. Of course, I must say that refineries do come to end of life as well, but also, give an example, Australia, a number of refineries in Australia have closed because of the fact that they basically are small, are not able to compete with big refineries from all over, you know, the world. And this is the norm even in Europe and in other parts of the world. Small refineries are no longer able to compete. Now, what we have done together with NERSA is to say, in an event that we lose the refining capacity, do we have an alternative? And those alternatives, I must indicate, are in place. They are, you know, massive import terminals that have been built that are able to make sure that even in Cape Town with the Astron refinery closed, you are still able to supply the fuel into the country. Of course, the best position would be one where you have a big refinery. And I think this is something that continues to be a matter that is being looked into within the department. On the question raised by Honorable Mahlaule on the regulations, what I can indicate there is that at least the paraffin is not included, but we think that it is something that for the safety of particularly children, we need to look at a better solution than a 2-liter Coke bottle or, you know, cold drink bottle, because the ingestion does happen, and maybe it's a matter that will have to be looked into. The impact, I think the issue of the coal, transport of coal, I think what we were talking to is the fact that there was no impact on the production. Now, the issue of the incident, I must say that we'll need to look at that as to whether it was an isolated incident or linked to the unrest. And we can come back to the committee on that. What we do know is that no power station was impacted by, you know, lack of coal, for example, as well as the production facilities where coal is mined were not impacted. And then on the question raised by Honorable Matokwe on the issue of Gauteng numbers, I think the numbers, they keep coming. And the retailers, as I indicated, as far as recently as Friday last week, they said these are preliminary figures. Give us time. We're still consolidating because there are two retailers associations. So they then get feedback from their members and then they are able to give us consolidated figures. So I think that was the difficulty was that in Gauteng they were isolated incidents. So it was not really, we know for example that in Soweto precautionary measures were taken to close service stations, but that didn't last long. Those service stations came back into operation fairly quickly. As I said, we can come back, you know, once all the consolidation has been done to give then for Gauteng the figures. Even in KZN, as much as I'm confident about the service stations reopening, it may be that for those that are bent down to the ground, a decision can be taken by those retailers together with the oil companies to say they are not rebuilding. It's something that we also need to expect But at the moment, all we know is that all the service stations are going to be reopened. The jobs themselves, they were temporary. Most of the service stations in KZN have reopened. Those people who are not able to go to work have now gone back to work. And lastly, I think on the issue of engine, I think I've responded to Honorable Langa on engine that we're still discussing what is going to happen. All we've said to them, and this was something communicated to them by the minister as well, that no impact on the jobs. And each time we meet with them, with the DG, and that is basically what is repeated. And that's what they have indicated to us as well, that they will, in the event that they then finalize that decision, they will redeploy all those workers into other parts of the engine business. I hope I have covered, I think the issue of the strategic stocks may be the last one that I may have omitted. It is something that still is part of our issues that needs to be discussed. I think the issue for us is how do we pay for the strategic stock? Because if you have a strategic stock, it's insurance. So that would then have to go into the fuel price. And this is something that you don't just necessarily do when the prices are as high as they are currently. But what we can say is that we have sufficient infrastructure to make sure that we cover any event that we may have in future in terms of disruption. Thank you, Honorable Minister. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, you should have kicked me out of the meeting a long time ago, but you are keeping me here for reasons known to you. I think the leader has answered all the questions.
Nothing.
All the questions.
Except that you should have kicked me out of the meeting a long time ago. You kept me here for reasons only known.
Safety and security in the country are very important, and we must not counterpose the levels of poverty, because those poor people become the first victims when there is abuse of energy to destroy their livelihoods. The second one is Saudi Aramco refinery, Mr. Mailam, is almost off the radar because of its size. It doesn't compete internationally. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Can I please be excused?
Always running this one.
I'm not always, I'm working. Tokozani. Suppose into a sense, you think I don't want to go in the but why?
No, you're not going to treat me like that, Minister.
I'm not treating you like that.
We're no, we're not going to be like that. No, no, I'm not scared of you. I will ask questions that I need to ask. I was not employed by you to the committee.
Can we, honorable members, can we speak through the chair? If there is an objection, let's take the objection. I thought we were wrapping up, Minister. That's fine.
Yes.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Minister. Like I stated, you are released. The issue I must raise, Honorable Members, in the, just as we summarize, in the meeting, when we were dealing with the petroleum, the challenges of the fuel challenges, we agreed that amongst other issues, we're going to look on the question of energy sustainability. The main purpose today was to focus whether are there any immediate issues that would have transpired as a result of the unrest that took place both in KZN and in Gauteng, and whether is there any possibility or need for us now as a portfolio committee to undertake certain actions or visits. It is quite clear for now that there is nothing that may require us to undertake oversight to specifically go to certain areas, like most of the other committees, especially those that relate to the economic sector. I've seen small business, the trade industry, and competition. I know that agriculture, rural development are also out on oversight, many of the committees. The only thing that we will do, we'll go back, honorable members, when we deal with the program, especially if we undertake a decision with regards to the gas amendment bill, if we finally agree, I don't know what will be the outcome. Maybe we can also say when we go to the two provinces, we will then make a consideration whether we should also do, I don't want to say more like a walkover or fact-finding visits on certain areas as an addition to, if we agree that we'll have public hearings that are going out. But we're still going to adopt the program next week. In that program, we will take two things that are quite critical that the committee, I'm sure, knows. Is one, the pursuance of a discussion on the challenges with regards to the issue of the fuel crisis, which we all know and have experienced now, and its implications. The second thing that we get there is the challenges with regards, in particular, the mining industry, which we'll expect the department to present. I think one member, if I'm not mistaken, Honorable Mashaule, made mention of it. I always call it the extortion syndicates in the mining industry and other violence-related issues, so that we can look in overall what are the issues. The point that I think also Honorable Mailem was talking about, how to deal with issues of national security in the industry with regards to those things. The third issue that we will take into consideration when we have these discussions in the committee will be the issues that relate to overall challenges in the sector, especially energy as well as mining. Based on that, honorable members, it's a program that it will require us as members of parliament, especially this portfolio committee. So that is why I'm saying some of these issues will remain with us, with or without unrest. Those are things that we have to undertake. We're still also looking to the issue of the incident in Mozambique, of the insurgency, and the investment on the pipeline, gas pipelines, and so forth. Those are things that we will have to factor them in on the program and invite the department to specifically now give us presentation on those matters. Without any further ado, honorable members, let's then prepare for next week where we start the work. I'm still gonna engage with the staff specifically on the issue of the process going forward with regards to the gas amendment bill that is in front of the committee. On that note, the meeting stands adjourned. Let's meet next week, Tuesday.